Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to our show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really amazing thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. Her firm is based in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and has a style that can best be described as timeless. The firm's projects range from manor houses in the Northern Irish hills to modern townhouses in central Dublin. Before launching the firm, she worked in the worlds of art and antiques. She went to Camberwell Art College, followed by Edinburgh University to study the history of art. Her first job was in Dublin at Adams Auction House, and she went on to another degree in new art valuation. It was through their mutual love of art that she met her business partner 5 years ago, and together they've built their business. Annually, she and her team of four visit trade shows in as faraway places as Milan, London, and Paris. It turns out she's a very busy lady, making the world more beautiful. Sarah Thompson, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you very much, James. That's a lovely and very kind introduction. It's very nice to be here.
It's lovely to have you with us from faraway Northern Ireland. Yeah. It's one of my favorite parts of the world, to be honest. I've visited only once, and I look forward to coming back and visiting again. It's really quite beautiful.
You might not want to visit at the moment. It's blowing a gale, and it's very wet. But it's always like that here, particularly in winter, but beautiful all the
indeed.
Same.
It calls for a fire in the fireplace and maybe a whiskey or a scotch in the glass, right?
It certainly does.
There you go. Well, listen, we're thrilled to have you here. Take us back, Sarah, and talk to us. Tell us about the story of you falling in love with art and design and how it brought you to where you are today.
Well, I suppose the easiest way to explain it is that I took a very long way round to getting to interior design. I'd always loved interiors. I'd always loved art and decorating my bedroom and doing the Christmas decorations at home. It's always something that I've just naturally warmed to. But I suppose based on rather poor careers advice and sort of a lack of confidence in how art would make me money and make a career out of me, I ended up sort of always treating art as a bit of a hobby. So at school, I would paint away in the art department, spend all my time there. I went to boarding school, so there was many hours spent there painting, whilst I still did all my studies and I studied very well and hard. But the art was sort of always considered my hobby. And when I left school, they said, the teacher said, we suggest you go on to art college. But my art college was very daunting and I was thrown in with lots of very wild and crazy students. And even though I spent time specializing in textile design, I still didn't really get the interior design calling. It just didn't click with me. So I left London, which was an amazing city to spend a year in, fresh out of school. And I went up to Edinburgh University, as you mentioned, another fabulous city that's so rich in culture and heritage. And I studied history of art. And that was really engaging. It sort of brought out the academic side of me and I learned all about painting, but I never really considered interiors as a career even then. But I left Edinburgh and got my first job with Adams Auctioneers in Dublin. And I guess they're very similar to Sotheby's or Christie's. They're a pretty big auction house and I had to work from the bottom up. I was one of their junior valuers and I had to learn everything and anything about antiques and collectibles. So I would spend the day chatting to little old ladies who'd come in wanting to sell some silver or an old family painting or heirloom, and you'd hear the story of these objects, and you would then be valuing it and engaging with these people and making sure they're happy that they were ready to sell it, and then it would go for auction and you'd be liaising with all the dealers and the buyers and the clients wanting to buy these items, and you'd sort of see the kind of the coming and going of these beautiful objects that have been made and crafted many years ago in such an intricate way. And it really brought about not only an appreciation for art and collectibles and furniture and how they all work in an interior, but also the clients and listening to people's stories about art and antiques. But you got to see the piece that you'll be going out to people's houses and valuing them. And, you know, I'd always stop and look at their interiors and admire and say, wow, this is such a beautiful house, or this is such a beautiful estate. And then equally, you know, you'd be bringing the painting to someone's house once they'd bought it, maybe sort of to help them hang it. And again, it's sort of great admiration for their house. So I think the sort of the penny was very slowly dropping, and I was realizing that there was a connection between art and the value of art and furniture and decorative items and people's homes and how they wanted them and interpreted them in their own home. So Adams was a big influence, and I studied a little bit more there. I did another degree in art, fine art valuation. But I met my husband very young, and he was my boyfriend then, and he lived in Belfast and I was working in Dublin. So there was a bit of a calling to move back to Belfast and get married after 14 years of dating. So I moved to Belfast and I had to leave the auction house, but I landed another rather marvellous job with a very fine lady called the Marchioness of Dufferin and Ava. And she's from the Guinness family. And she owns this amazing country estate just round the corner from us, just outside Belfast. And her estate is just a treasure trove of art, antiques, furniture, paintings. She was great friends with David Hockney and Duncan Grant, and all these amazing people had been to stay at her house and even decorated bedrooms with her. There's a Duncan Grant bedroom that's painted amazingly. So I worked for her. She was a philanthropist, or she still is, and she ran an art gallery that was all about bringing art to the public or to center stage and bringing art to people's doorsteps by opening this gallery on her estate. And we worked with some amazing Irish, and in particular Northern Irish artists, and won them amazing commissions to even travel with the Prince of Wales on his sort of royal tours to great sort of exhibitions in London. And it was great fun. But we always used to have afternoon tea maybe once a month in her drawing room, which was very fine and very fun. And that sort of, again, sort of was another layer of come to the art, into the interiors world. This place, you know, I was just always sort of so intoxicated by her house and the goings on there. And probably from this art gallery, where I spent sort of 4 years curating exhibitions, working very closely with artists, I met this lady called Lindy Clark. And Lindy, soon then came on to be my business partner. I went to work for her first, and then we sort of did a sort of change in business a little bit. But Lindy had come into the art gallery to buy a painting, and we were just exhibiting this new collection of art by an artist called Emma Connolly, a Belfast artist, and she did a series of four rather large pink paintings, and the museum had already bought one, and the university had bought another, and there were two left, but I'd sort of got a little sticky dot on one of them as well. If nobody wants that, then I'll take that. And Lindy picked the other one. Oh my God. So we sort of fell in love with this painting, and we both have the sort of, she has, you know, episode one, I have episode two of this painting in our houses. And it got us talking, and we realized we liked a lot of similar things and similar tastes. So Lindy was an interior designer, and that kind of was when really sort of the doors suddenly opened and I could see the world as I really needed it to be. And she very kindly said, would I come and work with her for a part-time role initially, just trying to find art for clients. But then she said, well, would you not have a look at this room and see what you think, and what do you think we should do here? And just over time, I sort of developed this skill for interior design, working very closely with her. And then now we're, you said sort of 5 years ago in the intro, but actually really we've been working 10 years together, but 5 years as Thompson Clark. So 5 years ago we did a change, and I sort of came into business with her, and now we run the business together. And I am 100% into interiors, and probably slightly less so in the art gallery scene, but it's a great way to, a very sort of indirect route to the world of interiors. And I suppose the bottom line is possibly that, you know, experience and having a broad knowledge and an appreciation for beautiful things is the sort of the foundations of my interior design. And maybe the exams are not so important. You have to follow your dream, and eventually you will find it, I guess.
Well, the universe does have a way of bringing us to those points in our life that we need to be, so that decisions like that can be made.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to jump on the chance that whenever true. You get it, and go for it when it feels right. So
very, very true, so which you that. Clearly have done.
Yeah. And we haven't looked back ever since. It's amazing how you can just, you know, and the knowledge that you've built up with all the different degrees and exams that we've done and everything but interior design really still are the mainstay of decisions that we make now. And, you know, you keep those skills and you keep using them, even though they're not absolutely directly linked with interior design. So,
well, it seems to me that with an eye trained for art, and then, and as you segue then into objects and beautiful belongings for people at the auction house, that you were training your eye, and in that regard you were rather well prepared for the work in interiors.
Yes, I felt very natural and very confident in it, actually, which is probably why we've sort of grown so quickly and have a great following of clients now who want us to offer expertise on all levels of the interior, not just, you know, the simpler things of maybe paint colors and sofa sizes. So you can really advise and feel able to offer a strong opinion about something, or, you know, a well-educated, let's say, opinion.
Well, it doesn't take but a moment on your website to see that you're working on important, substantial projects and really contributing to the overall success of them for your clients. So that's pretty exciting, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. We Northern Ireland and Ireland overall is a small place, I guess, so compared to the rest of the world. But we have great taste in Ireland, and we have great clients who are really keen to have the best of the best, and, you know, cutting edge design and beautiful houses. You know, they're every bit as proud of their house, and they take a lot of influence from their trips to around the world, and they want, you know, they want something beautiful for themselves as well.
Well, certainly, absolutely, and you help them do that. So
yeah,
a win all the way around. So tell us about the projects that you're working on right now. I mean, what particularly has you excited these days?
Well, we always have a few projects under our belts, and we've just finished sort of the big Christmas rush of getting everybody finished for the big 25th of December, which is always sort of a very busy and hectic time for us trying to make deadlines. But January has started being a very sort of reflective month for us, where people have thought about what they want to do in the new year, and we've had the phone ringing nonstop about new projects that they want us to engage with. So that's an exciting sort of planning month. But we do have and recently, actually today, we just got a lovely project of an arts and crafts house that they're doing a modern extension to, that with lovely crystal windows, and it's going to be quite fun, so we're excited about that. But there's two big projects that we've been working on over the last year, really, where these houses are being built from the ground up. So we're working on one amazing family home on Belfast Lough, where a young London couple have moved back with their three boisterous boys, and they have designed, or had a house designed by one of the leading Irish architecture firms, RPP, Robinson Patterson Partnership. And it's a big sort of Georgian style mansion, but with a modern twist. So it looks quite, it looks very grand from the outside. And as you go in, the clients are looking for furniture and fabrics and flooring with a bit of an edge. So we've got sort of terrazzo flooring. We've got a dark, moody kitchen with bright gold handles. And they've even got crystal windows again in the interior, and clever lighting, even including a disco ball, because they want to party. But that's a beautiful, really challenging house for us, because I suppose it's forcing us to come up with really new out there ideas that are going to fit with the client, but also be really practical, because it is a family home after all. And then in Ireland, we were surrounded by this amazing coastline, and we have this house that is just breathtakingly beautiful in its setting. I'm sure you've heard of the Giant's Causeway up on the north coast of Ireland.
Certainly.
It's an area of outstanding natural beauty. Well, this house that we're building for a couple who are sort of nearing retirement, is just set on this jagged coastline of the North Coast, just 5 miles from the Giant's Causeway. They look out to the Atlantic, and it's breathtaking. So they've recruited a very local architecture firm, but they're really modern and forward thinking in their ideas, and they've come up with this beautiful modern house with an inner courtyard to protect them from the wind and the sea salt outside, and then these big sort of sprawling windows, floor-to-ceiling glass with big sliding doors, and just a lovely feeling where all we have to do is to make sure that the scenery goes unnoticed and we don't distract people from it, I suppose. So we're actually having to calm down our interior so that, you know, this amazing picture as they look out the window is going to be, you know, sort of clear and obvious, and absolutely, you know, everyone can admire it. Right. So it's a really lovely project. So we travel quite a bit around the country, just getting to and from all these locations. But those two projects are really exciting. They're about 3 months from moving in, and it's all coming together nicely. So it's great.
Congratulations. Those sound exciting. Will we at some point see images of these on your website?
I hope so. We always have to ask the client's permission, but I'm hoping that they will say yes. So yes, absolutely. And we probably sort of Instagram things as we go as well, sneakily taking photos of new staircases and kitchens as they go in. So yes, absolutely.
We'll be sure to post links to both your website and your Instagram page so that our listeners can follow along and see all the beautiful things that you're creating. They all sound very exciting. That North Coast property has particularly got my attention. I think that's maybe one of the most beautiful parts of the world that I've ever been to. So,
yeah, it is stunning. They're right next to a National Trust beach as well, and it's just beautiful.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Well, when you think then, Sarah, about this business that you've built, this journey that you've been on, the work that you're doing right now, the work that's still ahead, because we hope to see you for many, many more years doing beautiful things. What is it about what you get to do right now that you love the most?
Well, my father always said that if you find the job you love, you'll never have to work another day in your life. So I guess I'm very lucky that I love everything about my job. It's great fun to be in the office and be with our colleagues and clients. But I suppose our clients are everything. We'd be nothing without them. They're very loyal and they're a very discerning bunch of people. And we spend a lot of time getting to know them, building a relationship with them that gains their trust in us and our confidence in that we can deliver what they want. We really get under the skin of them in a very personal way, I guess. You know, we know the names and ages of all their children, what their children's activities are, how they live, what time they leave the house at in the morning, whether they need double sinks or lights on in bathrooms or, you know, keys by the door, whatever it is. We really do try to get to know them so that we can listen, understand, interpret what they want and be really creative and effective with the result. And the best part is when you finish the job and the client is absolutely delighted that we have achieved exactly what they're looking for. So that's really rewarding and is probably the best thing that I get from the job. And, you know, as a result, we get lots of referrals, but we try to have a real personal touch with our clients. They're great fun, and again, you know, we often, they're maybe even friends of ours previously, or they're friends of friends and they've been recommended. So we in Ireland, we're a very friendly bunch, and we get to know our clients. But we often, one thing we do which is really fun is take them on our sourcing trips with us. So you know, we might take them, well, we've just actually recently completed a trip to Paris with a client. There was a big trade fair in Paris last month called Maison et Objet, which I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. So we take clients there and they get to see this world of interiors. It's ever so slightly overwhelming because it's a very big exhibition hall, but they can sort through what they like, what they don't like, pick things, write a wish list, and just really visualize what they want in their house and make decisions. And it's particularly useful for clients who are doing up whole houses, and they need to make a lot of decisions and not feel so daunted by it. And so we do a little bit of hand-holding on a shopping trip, and it's really quite fun and exciting to do that.
Sounds like a marvelous adventure for them and for you.
Yeah, equally. Yeah, and we always have a bit of a giggle on the way, and we end up buying something that we probably shouldn't have and get carried away with an impulse, but that's the best bit.
Exactly. Yeah, you wouldn't be human if you didn't do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so thinking about all of these amazing influences into the design that you do and this great conversation we're having right now, our listeners at home tune in looking for ideas and tips and inspiration as they create beauty in their own homes, Sarah. So what would you say to our listeners at home? What advice or what mistakes maybe would you recommend or counsel them to avoid as they're working on their own projects?
Yeah, it's such an interesting question because there's so many tips and advice that we could offer. But probably interesting you should say mistake, because people, well, quite often clients will come to us with mistakes and see how to fix things. And the most common mistake is not doing a floor plan. So we always say do a floor plan, floor plan, floor plan, floor plan for all your rooms, even though it seems the most simple, obvious thing to do. Quite often people skip over it. So there goes the expensive sofa that doesn't fit because they haven't planned it. But that's a simple sort of tip and a problem that's so easily avoided. But I always think that to make your house more beautiful, it just needs personality. So find a way to inject your personality into your home. And maybe that's like I did. I started collecting young, where you build up a collection of beautiful objects, be it artwork or decorative ware of pots or glassware or furniture, because it's expensive to do it all in one go, and you can make a very rushed decision when you do have to fill a house in an instant or over a month. If you start young and you collect young and you buy the things that you love or that sort of call to you from that store or that antique shop or the fair or market, then that piece tells a story about you and a story about how you even found it. And I think that's really interesting. When I was young, I always bought art. Even I asked for birthday presents to be paintings or artwork, and my first paycheck that I got in the auction house went right back into the auction house because I ended up having my eye on a painting. But one time I saw this amazing leather sort of study armchair that came in to auction, and I just knew I had to have it. It had this most amazing patina on it, and I thought that everybody's going to have their eye on this, and how am I going to get this at a good price? So I decided the best thing to do was to sit on it. So I because I was working at the auction house at the same time, I just chose to sit on it throughout all the viewings and throughout the auction, and lo and behold, it now sits up in our bathroom, and I love it. A bit naughty for the client, but they did have other things in the auction, and I looked after them very well. But I bought that by sitting on it. So things like that. I my house is full of lots of bits and pieces of furniture and chairs that I've recovered, or old sofas, and even things from holidays to Moroccan lamps, lanterns that I bought in a souk last year with my husband, and a poster. We're just back from Sydney, actually, and we bought a poster from the art gallery that we went to, and just little things that help tell a story about you and your personality and where you come from. And I think that injection of individual taste and personality is just so important, and is the best way to decorate.
It really is. It adds a layer of reality to the home that you live in that reflects who the owner is. And that's, at the end of the day, I think, the way it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you can buy so much online these days, but it can be a little bit sort of nondescript, and anyone can get that at that price. But having things that you actually actively go out and buy because you love them or because you found them, I think just look amazing. And quite often, particularly the younger client, dare I say, who hasn't shopped about and bought things before, just ends up with a house with sort of four plain walls and doesn't really know how to bring in the life. And you can cushion it as much as you like, but actually what you need are objects and things to covet and a feast for the eyes as you walk in, where you're not quite sure where to look because there's so many lovely things.
Exactly.
And yeah, buy the best that you can afford as well at the time, because that's always going to hold you in good stead, I think.
Exactly. Very, very much so. So what would our listeners be most surprised to find in your home, Sarah?
Well, I probably should tell you a little bit about my home, because our house is recently built. I live just outside Belfast in a town called Hollywood, which is not quite as glamorous as your Hollywood, but we also have Hollywood Hills, which is where we are. My husband and I sort of built a house for three generations on the site of my husband's old family home. So his parents actually live next door to us, and we rebuilt a sort of falling down cottage my husband's old family home. We took a very brave decision to knock it down and start again and build a new home for everybody. But our house is this beautiful sort of Georgian style mansion. It's very classic, very symmetrical, with sash windows and a big portico and lovely front, bright front door colour. And in the house, we have, there's lots of sort of different things that might take your fancy, but probably the oddest thing I have is my sweet shop or my candy store, which is sort of unusual in that it's actually really a little pantry that's off the kitchen, but I fill the shelves with glass Kilner jars full of sweets and treats for my children. It looks very decorative, very pretty, but I put them up high on the shelves, so the Easter treats from last year are still in them. They can look, but they can't touch. But yeah, my sweet shop. So the kids, their friends will come in and go, can we go into the sweet shop? Can we have fun? So it sort of looks like it's quite a cute little sweet shop pantry, and I suppose that's different to most people's houses, maybe. I don't know.
Possibly. It certainly makes you popular with the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. They love it. But yeah, it's also probably a complete sin for me, because I'm constantly in there anyway.
Yeah, that would be a problem for me.
That'd be a problem for everybody. yeah. But there's lots of quirky things in the house as well, from groovy lighting. Probably I have a giant daffodil lamp as well that was about to be discarded by my mother-in-law. She didn't feel she had a place for it in her house, and I rescued it and said, I'll have it. And it's this very tall metal green and yellow daffodil with, in the sort of head of the daffodil is a little light bulb, and it sits in the children's room and is quite quirky and fun as well.
How lovely.
Playful. The house is quite playful.
Yeah, playful. That makes for a good place to live. So when you think about the worlds of art and design, Sarah, do you have a hero, someone whose work and a life work you really look up to? And if you had a chance, you'd just love to spend an hour or so hanging out with them.
I have lots of heroes, I guess. In the world of interiors, I'm constantly sort of following ideas of clever people on Instagram. But maybe sort of a lifelong one would have to be an artist. I think somebody who's sort of had an impact, I suppose, I have a constant watchful eye on them. And I mentioned him before, actually, probably David Hockney. I love to draw and often do hand drawings and sketches for clients, and probably a bit of a frustrated artist. So my love and admiration of David Hockney, who's, one of the most amazing British artists of all time, has a big retrospective exhibition at the Tate opening this month, actually. I just think he's amazing. And he was sort of a relentless inventor in art, coming up with different ideas and concepts of creating, making sense of the 3D and 2D with different techniques of photography and printmaking, collage. I recently went to an exhibition. We were in Australia at Christmas, but recently went to an exhibition in Melbourne where he created all the artworks on iPads from some sort of app called Brushstrokes. And it was just such a clever way of seeing how he painted, because the exhibition was able to relay the paintings on the iPads in speeded up time. I don't know how to describe it, but you could see what he added to the screen as he painted in layer upon layer, and it just built this incredible picture of how this total genius was able to create art. And you kind of thought, I can do that. I might be able to do that. So maybe, yeah, sitting down with David Hockney for an hour, hearing about the people that he's painted, all the clever, wonderful people he's met, but maybe ask him for a few tips on how to improve my drawing skills, which are slightly rusty. And yeah, he's one of the best drafts people I know. So I think that would be fascinating.
I would tend to agree with you. That's a good pick. Thank you for sharing that one with us. Let's do a hypothetical for a second, Sarah. We pray that nothing like this ever happens to any of our guests. But if there were a fire at the house, family, loved ones, animals, all safe, but what's the one object in your home that you would risk the flames to save?
This is such an interesting question because, I don't know, once you really sort of think about it, you're having to look at the things that are completely irreplaceable. And I did initially think, you know, photo albums and things that relate to the children. I have three gorgeous children and a loving husband and probably photos and memories of holidays and time spent with them. But then I remembered everything's backed up in the cloud, so I could probably get that. So it has to be a painting. It has to be, and I have lots to choose from. But I commissioned a painting for my husband for a Christmas present one year when I was working at the art gallery. I worked very closely with this artist called Colin Davidson, and he's a Belfast painter, and he has gone on in the last 10 years to do amazing things. I sat down with him and said, look, I'm thinking of doing a painting for Scott, and, you know, I really liked your last series of window reflections, and could you do something for me, and can we keep it secret, and could it include this and that? But he did this very clever painting where it's a reflection of Fortnum and Mason window of their where you can see so many different things in the reflection from both sides of the glass. Anyway, it sits by my bed and I look at it and get lost in different things I see. But equally, he's a very important person for me because I met him and he's gone on to do these brilliant things. He recently has just done an exhibition, done a portrait. He's gone into portraits now. He just did a portrait of the Queen and Brad Pitt, and he's absolutely the man of the moment an Irish painting. So maybe if I'm looking at it from a sentimental thing, but also maybe of a value, it's quite not quite a valuable painting. So I think I'll probably rescue that one.
That sounds like a good pick to me for all of those reasons. Are you a book lover, Sarah?
I do. I love books. I don't get a huge amount of time to read books, novels. I have to sort of go and lose myself on an aeroplane or in a hotel or something just to get the peace and quiet to read. But I do love books.
Well, let me put you on the spot then and ask you to give us a recommendation, a book that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover who's listening.
Well, have you heard of Kit Kemp? She is one half of the Fermdale Group, yep, which is this amazing hotel chain. Well, I love Kit Kemp and her books. When she launched her first book, A Living Space, it just changed how, well, didn't it, was sort of, it emphasized, let's say, yeah, you can't change it, emphasized how we look at interior, how to sort of be more adventurous with interiors and looking at craftsmen and how to bring art and craft into the interior and to make things from scratch, and the colors that she brought. I just found it just completely sort of met with my expectations of how an interior should look like. So I love that book. And then her second one, Every Room Tells a Story, which is very much what I think too, is another great read. And it's brilliant for us to have it for our clients to see, because they can see how to be brave and exciting with colors and interiors, and how beautiful things don't necessarily have to match and look perfect together. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great way for people, if people read that book or even flick through the photos, it's a great way to gain confidence in mixing and matching things and being really creative in interiors.
They sound like keepers to me. We'll post links to both of those books in the show notes section so our listeners can click on those and add them to their libraries at home. Something tells me they will be deeply grateful to you for those recommendations.
Oh, yeah, well, there we go.
Last question, Sarah. We've come down to the last one. Are you ready for this one?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. We end every show with the same question, so let me paint a picture for you and then get your thoughts. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
This is a great question. I hear you ask this to all your interviewees, and I always am fascinated with what they say. I was thinking about this, and I'm a great spender, so $1,000 is not very much money for me to really... I'm not very good with my own budget when it comes to interior. So I was thinking about this, and I thought that my home doesn't have to be fixed in the ground. Could it be something like a camper van?
Ah, of course.
And, you know, location, 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 very important in property and interior. So I could travel in my camper van, relatively small, comfy camper van, and park it up in a, you know, by the beach or in a mountain landscape or in a city and enjoy everything around me. But maybe it's also easier to decorate a smaller space. So I'd maybe, you know, camper vans sometimes have a bit of a sort of reuse quality to them, so it might need a lick of paint, so maybe a pot of my favorite paint from Designers Guild, Swedish blue, lovely blue color, calming color. So I'd give it a big pot of paint and maybe a rug to cover up the moldy carpet. And I'm quite small and I'll sleep anywhere, so just a sofa would do me, I think. Sure. Which I could recover, and then a lovely colorful bed throw from one of my favorite stores in Paris, Simran, which does amazing Indian duvet bed throws. That could keep me warm, that would be good. And maybe some collapsible deck chairs and folding up tables and a parasol to set outside. That's got to be inexpensive, isn't it?
Sure.
So that and some herb pots to keep it looking green and smelling lovely. would that do?
Sarah, I think that may be one of the most creative and inspired answers to that question we've had so far.
Oh, great.
Bravo, bravo. I may have to co-opt that one, though, because I like the sound of that.
So, yeah,
good idea.
I do too. I think that actually think that'd be quite fun. I should do it one day.
Yeah, good idea. Very good idea. Sarah Thompson, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a real joy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much for inviting me on the show. It's a real honor. Thank you.
Well, a pleasure to have you. It's also a pleasure to have our subscribers tuning in today. None of this means anything if it's not for you. So thank you for being part of what we're doing here at Million Dollar Decorating. We appreciate you. We appreciate you telling your friends about the show and helping us to grow. Go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post links to Sarah's website so you can follow all the great things that she and her firm are doing. We'll also post a link to that Instagram account because you want to follow that one too. A couple of books that she's recommended, both by Kit Kempner. They sound like books that need to be on your shelf. They're not on mine, so you know I'll be out adding them to my library this weekend. Click on those, add those to your library. I know that you'll be grateful to Sarah for those recommendations. While you're on our site, click a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.